Good evening. Welcome to our Maundy Thursday service. Before I get started, I just wanted to point out a couple things in the bulletin. So we will be following the order of Holy Communion as on page 15 mostly, but at the very end, things are going to be a little different. So go ahead and open up your hymnals for a minute and turn over to page 30. So as you see, we have the Nunc Dimittis, and then there's the thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And then we pray the collect. And at that point, instead of going into the Benedicamus and the salutation and the benediction, the acolyte will come forward at that moment, put out the candles, and we will start reciting Psalm 22, which is your insert here, antiphonally. And so the lectern side will say the unbolded letters, the unbolded lines, and the pulpit side will say the bolded words, and I will go ahead and start you off in the first line, so you guys wait for me to start, my God, why have you forsaken me? And join in with me at that point, and then you will go back and forth through Psalm 22 as we strip the altar up here. Now, why are we skipping the benediction? Well, Maundy Thursday is the first of the three services in the Triduum, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter sunrise. And the idea is that these are all actually one service. And so this service is not going to end, and there's not going to be an invocation for Good Friday or for Easter sunrise, because it will not end until I give the benediction at the end of Easter sunrise, right? As Christians, we are joined together with Christ in his life, death, and resurrection through baptism and through his Holy Supper. And so liturgically, we are taking the journey with Christ. We are here at the Last Supper, partaking of that meal. We will journey with him to his death on Good Friday, into the tomb, and then on Easter sunrise, we will rise with him. And so this is all one service. Okay. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. I love the Lord because he has heard.
My voice and my face for mercy.
because he inclined his ear to me. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for Maundy Thursday comes from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Hebrews chapter 10. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the gradual. Christ entered once for all into the holy places by means of his own blood. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant. He sent redemption to his people.
He has commanded.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Here endeth the gospel. We confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. On the night when our Lord and Savior was betrayed, on the precipice of the ultimate act of divine love, Jesus gathers his beloved disciples one last time to impart to them a teaching and an institution of the utmost importance. Soon he will be taken by soldiers, tried in a kangaroo court, beaten and mocked and crucified. And it was the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be crucified. Our Lord Jesus knew well that this Passover would be unlike any Passover he had celebrated in his entire life. Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem for this purpose, and he would not be deterred from his end. It was the will of the Father, and it would come to pass just as the Father had declared from all eternity. And for the love set before him, his love for the Father and his love for us, Jesus would gladly do what he had to do. According to God's providence, the stage was set from the greatest to the lowest. The governor Pilate was in town, and with him came the authority to crucify prisoners. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death. Satan had entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12, and they hatched their wicked plan. Everything was in place, from the great to the small. Even the man carrying a jar of water had his role to play. Our Lord Jesus knew well that that Passover would be different than any other Passover Israel had celebrated from ancient times. This year, this time, the lamb to be slain was him. He, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, his flesh would be rent asunder. He would be marched to the cross, and his blood would be spilled as the final an all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. Every year for over a millennium, God's people slayed a lamb, spilt its blood, and ate it to remember their deliverance from Egypt. So great was the number of that yearly sacrifice that Josephus, the Roman Jewish historian, tells us 200 lambs were slain a year. Every Passover from the very first, every lamb slain since, millions upon millions of sacrifices, all pointed forward to this last and final sacrifice, offered up to the Father by the beloved Son for the propitiation of the sins of the world. On that solemn night, when our Lord and Savior was betrayed, before his final hour had come, Jesus institutes his supper. In this supper will his promise be kept. I am with you always until the end of the age. For on that night he instituted a meal far greater than the Passover meal, which Israel had celebrated in times past. He instituted a meal far greater even than that first Passover celebrated in Egypt. On the first Passover, they were to sacrifice the lamb and eat it to give them strength for their journey ahead. The lamb and the unleavened bread would sustain them as they departed from Egypt in haste for their wilderness wanderings. The blood of the lamb was to be spilled and painted on the doorpost of the house, for the angel of death was to visit Egypt that night and carry along with him the firstborn of every family. Yet that grim visage would pass over the people that had the lamb's blood upon their door. And so, by the blood of the lamb, the people would be saved. And by the blood of the lamb, Pharaoh would finally capitulate and let the people go free. On that night, with his disciples, Jesus had the earnest desire to eat this Passover with them before he suffered, but he could not. Our Lord says, "For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." For that night, as he played host, it would not be the flesh of a lamb that he gives them to eat. That night, the Passover would be replaced, the covenant superseded, a new covenant established. When the time came for the cup of blessing to be passed around the table, Jesus broke from the age-old Passover liturgy. For these men who had celebrated the Passover from their youth, this disjunction would have been startling. Instead of taking the cup and saying the appropriate prayer, the Lord grabbed bread and said, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Instead of giving them the flesh of a lamb to eat that night, he gives them his own flesh. It will be food for them. As our Lord Christ says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And this bread, his body, is better than the flesh of the lamb, and better than the unleavened bread, and even better than the manna given to the people of Israel in the wilderness. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Israelites were sustained in their bodies for a time by the lamb and the bread, while they wandered in the wilderness, tired and harried. The Lord provided for them manna as well. Yet ordinary bread and ordinary meat only sustains the body for a time. We, dear Christians, wander in the wilderness of this world, and the Lord provides for us in this wilderness. Jesus has given you food to sustain you. When you are wearied or harried by sin, the Lord gives you his body, first given on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, to give you life anew. When you are attacked by temptation or feel weak and like you might succumb, the Lord Jesus unites with you in his body to strengthen you. And when your body is sick and worn out and on the cusp of death, he gives you his body, which has been raised, lives and reigns on the throne of heaven, so that united with him, you will rise as well. This bread, his body, does not only sustain you for a time, but strengthens and preserves you unto life everlasting. He says, do this in remembrance of me, for this is to be a perpetual feast in which the Lord is always with us until the end of the age. It is a perpetual proclamation of salvation that he won for us in his atoning death on the cross. As the Apostle Paul says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Thus it is fitting for Christians to gather together and celebrate their crucified and risen Savior and proclaim his death and receive this gift given for them by their Savior, that they would be renewed and strengthened and preserved by his life-giving body. My flesh is the life of the world. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, Christ says. In the same manner also he took the cup after he had supped and said, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The old covenant has been surpassed. And here in this extraordinary Passover is the most extraordinary statement yet. Since the time of Noah, the people of God have been forbidden from eating or drinking the blood of an animal, for the life is in the blood. But here, Jesus says that this cup is the new covenant in his blood. It is the very blood of God, the very blood of life. And he says, drink ye all of it. Jesus says, my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. When you drink this wine, you drink the blood of life. You are united with Christ and he abides in you and you abide in him. When stricken with guilt, when tempted by sin, when suffering persecution or hardship, what greater comfort can there be than to know that the Lord your God has united himself with you and abides with you in guilt and temptation and suffering so that he might give you life. On that first Passover, the blood of the lamb was painted on the doorposts of the houses of the people of Israel, and the angel of death passed over. In the Lord's Supper, the blood of the Lamb of God is painted on the doorpost of your house. It is painted upon your lips so that death will pass over you. Thus Jesus says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So come to the altar. Jesus is here. He is host, and he has instituted this meal for you. Here is his body, which was given for you on the cross. Here is his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Let your desires be for the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ, and his blood, which is immeasurable love. His body is food indeed, and his blood is drink indeed. It will renew you with the forgiveness of sins. It will sustain and preserve you unto life everlasting. The table is set. Take, eat, take, drink. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may rise for the offertory. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our only mediator and redeemer, we thank thee that in the night in which thou wast betrayed, thou didst institute for us the holy sacrament of thy true body and blood, as a perpetual memorial for thy death, a solemn pledge of thy mercy and continual presence, and an effectual means of grace. Thou art our Passover in this holy supper. And by giving us thy body to eat and thy blood to drink, thou dost grant us a wondrous communion with thee as very members of thy body, and dost impart and seal to us the merits of thy death the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, that even as thou, we are righteous and acceptable in the sight of God. O Lord, we have in no wise deserved and can never sufficiently thank thee for thy goodness. We beseech thee, however, to strengthen us through this salutary gift in faith towards thee and enable us daily so to appropriate and experience the blessings of thy passion, that we may heartily praise thee for our redemption and from day to day be more intimately united unto thee by faith and love. Kindle in us evermore such fervent longing for blessed communion with thee in the Holy Supper, that we may come often to thy table. Do thou also by thy Holy Spirit work in us true repentance and a lively and steadfast faith in thy gracious promises, a sincere desire to be in perfect charity with all men, and the earnest purpose to amend our sinful lives, that we may be meet and worthy partakers of the Holy Sacrament with full pardon of our past sins, be quickened in the way of righteousness, and that we may serve thee in holiness and pureness of living, and give thee continual thanks for all thy goodness. May thy Holy Supper be a source of comfort to the penitent, a means of enrichment to the poor in spirit, to the sick, a sweet relief from the bitterness of pain, and to the dying a pledge of their inheritance with the saints in light. Abide in thy church with thy gracious presence, and let her at all times be a faithful keeper and dispenser of the heavenly treasures entrusted to her for those who believe in thee. Bless the right use of the means of grace, whosoever men keep the remembrance of thy death till thou come. Let thy word and sacrament strengthen our souls during the days of our pilgrimage on earth, until the hereafter we shall partake of thy holy supper with thee in thy Father's kingdom. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome, through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And the glory forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Eat the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given for you. Take, drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Now may this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, we give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. My God, why have you forsaken me?